play. What's up? Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. It's alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they will see the thunder? Just remember when it comes up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast. This week, we'll be previewing the 2020 Zozo Championship. You can follow me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS. And as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, man?
Doing well. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. A little no-cut event. Mr. Kokrak getting the W, your boy.
I don't even know what to say, man. Like, I... You know, I figured he'd win at some point, but, you know, in that field, at that course, you know, he put a lights out. That was the thing.
Yeah, he put lights out. That's the thing we've talked about. You've talked about more than me, but he's a great ball striker. Just when's he going to putt? Like, very simple stuff. We say that about a lot of guys, and people wonder, why are you always on these guys? Because they are this good. They just got to get the hot putter, and
right.
It's going to happen. So, it's crazy. Yeah.
I mean, you could tell, you know, he was trending in the right direction, Kokrak was, but I did not expect him to win, so, you know, it feels good, but, and he saved my week in DFS, too. I mean, like, I had some shitty lineups, except for one with him in it, ended up cashing and almost broke even, but, yeah. I mean, it was a weird week, dude. Like, Matt Wolf, I did like Matt Wolf quite a bit, and, you know, he shoots, what, 11 over for the tournament, and, like, finishes 73rd, and yeah, so it really ruined my week with him doing that. But like talked about Bubba last week, he played well. Lonto was up there, Sebastian Munoz, Hovland. So yeah, overall not a terrible week for the picks anyway.
No, overall it was pretty good. You had your hits, your misses, no cut events, take some chances. Like Scottie Scheffler, I'll keep playing that guy. I don't know how much I'll play him this week because he does kind of look a little broken, but we know he's a guy that can birdie like crazy. So in a tournament, it makes sense. Like I get it, 4-round, no cut. You go for it. X-Man coming up a little short again. That kind of sucks. He's been so close many times. But the Kokrak thing I thought was interesting because I didn't see it anywhere. I heard it everywhere today, though, of course. Always Captain Hindsight stuff. But since he is an MGM-sponsored golfer, he golfed there more than any player in the field. Like, so he knew that course very, very well. Did not know that going into it. Everything else he read mentioned Dustin Johnson and some other guys. Nothing about Kokrak. So that's
interesting. Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, like I didn't either, but that makes –
makes a lot more sense
now. I'll tell you what, that golf course looks fucking sweet.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind playing that. Wouldn't mind playing that at all. Save me up about $500-$600. Go make that trip. But looks pretty darn awesome. Darn awesome.
I forgot to ask and remind me to ask after this is over with, but TPC Harding Park.
Very tough golf course.
Yeah.
Yeah. They literally told us when we checked in, we said, so how does it look compared to when the PGA was here? They said, not much different. And it was, I would say, because what was the rough then, like 9 to 12 inches?
I wouldn't say it was that high, but yeah.
Well, there was a lot of spots. It was like close to 6 inches where I played.
Really?
Yeah, it was very tough. If you missed the fairways and ate your lunch, it was a typical, I'll tell you more off the air because I don't think people want to hear everything, but it makes you think when we talk about shot makers courses, you would sit on the tee box in certain spots and you'd think wide fairway here or whatever. No, they make it so you have to hit to certain spots. Like there's water on the left. They brought the rough out like halfway into the fairway and made you hit to the left and take on the water. Like they told, because it was like a lot of the holes we played from the blues, basically where the tips were on about at least half, if not two thirds of the holes where the pros would have played were less than 15 yards behind the blues. So they had to make it tougher on different spots because they couldn't expand it. Now there are certain holes where they expanded the crap out of it. And I couldn't even imagine hitting a ball from where they teed off from. But a lot of holes, like 16 or Morikawa drove it. It was literally 15 yards behind us. So it was, but standing on the tee box and then thinking about how he hit that ball, that was ridiculous. it was still like a 340 yard. Like it was stupid. Right. But yeah, we could talk about that off the air. Awesome golf course. I would play it again in a heartbeat. You really need to learn how to hit out of the rough. Just going to put it that way. Cause it like there, you would hit the ball and you'd see it bounce once or twice and then disappear. Couldn't find it.
Yeah. So, I played courses times. Like that. So yes.
It was fun times. But we head to the Sherwood Country Club this week for the Zozo Championship. I believe last year was the first year of this, Jesse, on a whole different golf course. So what do you got for past event history?
Yeah, last year they played it over in China, right?
Yes.
No, they played it in Japan.
Japan, El Tigre.
Yeah. So it's in Japan typically. When I say typically, the only time they've ever played it was in Japan. Tiger won 19 under, three shots over Hideki. I mean, it doesn't matter. We're obviously in the States this year because of the worldwide pandemic. It is weird, though, that they've lowered the overall purse. Last year it was $9.7 million. This year it's $8 million.
I wonder why they did that. Like, seriously, I wonder. Maybe it was a Chinese sponsor that backed out or something. I don't know, or Japanese sponsor or something.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I wonder now that you mentioned that, I wonder if the CJ Cup dropped theirs a little bit.
I didn't pay any attention.
Well, I don't know, because that the company's already the Korean food company, was all over the place. So I think they stayed pretty strong in that one.
Yeah.
But actually, I want to mention one more thing before we get further into the Zozo. I want your thoughts on it, because we joked around about it in recent weeks, talking about the next match. Well, now it's official. The day after Thanksgiving, it's Phil and Charles Barkley against Peyton Manning and Steph Curry. I think it's kind of actually an even pairing based on how bad Chuck plays, even though Phil should smoke the crowd. It's in Arizona, apparently a really, really nice golf course. Day after Thanksgiving, how much is this much watch TV for you? Because usually that's a big college football day.
Yeah, I won't watch it. But I mean, like, if they, why not? What was wrong with like the Tiger Phil?
I'm guessing Tiger didn't see the money, maybe don't get Tiger.
I understand. Yeah. But get somebody else.
You need at least two pros.
Yeah.
You need at least two pros.
I mean, I don't get it. And like Barkley, man, I'm not going to watch him swing for 18 holes. It's just, that's just not going
to
happen.
It's just, the only reason to watch it is for the trash talk where Barkley's like,
yeah,
trying to make bets live.
I'm sure there'd be like pretty some good banter going back and forth, but no.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what Twitter's for. They'll cut all the good highlights out and put it on there for you.
Exactly.
You just go search that later. Yep. You don't have to watch all the garbage in between and probably watch like a great SEC matchup or something on CBS. But all right, back to the Zozo. Course preview, Sherwood Country Club. It's a par 72, a little less than 7,200 yards, so not a long golf course at all. Should be scoring a plenty if you're accurate off the tee. That's because the fairways are decent size, but if you get too far off the fairways, the rough won't be too bad. But you can lose balls into the trees and other areas because it is built in the forest up in the California, Southern California area. So it's a scoreable golf course, but if you start getting wayward, you're in a lot of trouble. Kind of like we saw last week, that if you kind of got too far left or right, it was a lot harder than it made it look. If you stayed in the fairway, lots of scoring chances. So that's in play for you. There's water involved on 8 different holes, so that's something to keep in mind. I've read anywhere from – I saw one place said 55 bunkers. I've seen another place say close to 80 bunkers. Regardless, there'll be a lot of bunkers on the golf course to navigate. That'll be something else to keep in mind, either in fairways and around the greens. They're bent grass greens, bent grass fairways. A lot of this course description sounds a ton like last weekend. The other thing that's really interesting with this course, though, par 72, but it's 8 par 4s, 5 par 3s, 5 par 5s. So that'll give you – and all 5 par 5s are reachable. None of them are – I think the farthest one's like 580. So none of them are over 600 yards. The par 3s, most of them are less than 200. There's a couple over 200. I think the longest par 4 is like 460 to 470. So all these holes, like literally, if you're just staying in the fairway, you're wedging it in. You got a lot of success you can have with this golf course. So scoring should be a plenty. And the back nine, if you're playing showdown – could be interesting if you guys start on the back nine, because I'd have to look at the exact like way it's lined out, but it's 3 par 4s, 3 par 3s, 3 par 5s. So the 3 par 5s could lead to 3 birdies mix in between there. Back nine, you might be able to get a streak of some sort. So keep that in mind as well. What kind of stats are you looking for this week, Jesse?
I mean, par 5 scoring will matter if you got, you know, 5 par 5s. There hasn't been an event here, I don't believe, since 2013. They used to play the Hero World Challenge here, right?
Yeah, the Senior Tour played here last year.
Gotcha. But as far as PGA Tour,
it's been a long time.
Yep. So, you know, exactly how it's going to play, I don't know. But, you know, just looking at a lot of usual stuff, strokes gained approach, greens and regulation, you know, accuracy off the tee versus distance will matter, since, you know, it's a shorter course and there's plenty of trees out there. And I think the scores will get, you know, into the double digits. So you got to wait birdies as well.
Yep. I'm with you. I think it'll be a lot like last week. They're going to want guys to score. They don't want like a U.S. Open type feel at this golf course, obviously. When it was the Senior Tour, it was pretty friendly playing, like an inch and a half rough. probably a little longer for the pro for the PGA guys, but still stay in the fairway and you have a lot of easy wedges in, putting on bent grass, get hot there. I'll mention fanshare sports.com. They don't have any of this event stuff on there yet. We're going a little earlier than normal, so it's not loaded up there yet, but go check out fanshare sports.com. Promo code always press for 20% off the package of your choice. And without any further ado, Jesse, let's get into the DraftKings scoring, where it's a fun one. So people keeping track at home, DJ has already withdrawn due to COVID, which makes sense. Usually it's a two-week process. Finau still in the field. That has not been announced yet. In theory, I could see him playing this week because it's basically been 2 weeks. You never know, though. He might have to wait one more week, but Finau could be back. But 10K and above, you got Xander at 11.2, quite the price bump for Mr. X. John Rahm at 11,000, JT at 10.6, Rory 10.4, Hatton at 10,000. Where are you going in the 10K range?
I mean, you know, just like usual, I think all these guys are playable. Xander at 11.2 is a little surprising, but in his last three events, his worst finish is fifth in the U.S. Open. So, I mean, I guess it really makes sense if you kind of narrow it down like that. He finished second last week. He'll be popular. John Rahm, not a great showing last week, 17th. Just a couple of bad rounds, but did hit a bunch of greens. He's done well in the past on the West Coast. So I like John. I think JT is obviously fine too. He played okay last week, you know, finished 12th, didn't have a very good Sunday at all. I kind of expected somebody to charge from behind, last week. And I thought it would maybe be JT, but, you know, obviously the 74 on Sunday did not do him any favors. Rory at 10-4. I mean, you know, it's completely GPP only, which of course no cut event here. So we're only GPP. I like him for that fact, that, you know, he's kind of sandwiches some guys who are usually pretty popular. I mean, I think Xander will get a lot of ownership. JT will get his own. Rahm always gets some. Rory's right there at 10-4. You know, last week he was 26% owned, did not pay off very well for whoever played him. So I expect that to come down. And then, you know, Hatton, you know, this is a weird price for Hatton. I don't know, you know, on the PGA Tour, I don't know if he's ever been, well, I guess at the Rocket Mortgage Classic, he was 10,700 earlier this year, but, you know, above 10K, on a PGA Tour event. So third last week, first week before, he led that event last week for a long, long time. He's playing really, really well right now. I like Hatton quite a bit this week.
Yeah, I'm 100% on board with Hatton. I'm curious on his ownership now that people are seeing him. Like, it's one thing when he was winning in Europe. Now they saw him last week. They saw him get pissed off at himself, which is always entertaining, and still play great. Like, he was pissed off when he had an Eagle 18 to potentially force a playoff on a very tough Eagle chance. Like, it was – I love this guy. Like, he's awesome. He's not, like, pouty like John Rahm gets. He's more of a – gets pissed off at himself, but it just looks different when Hatton does it for some reason. So,
yeah,
I like Hatton a lot at $10,000. I'm with you there. I just curious on the ownership, people actually finally seeing him do it a little more consistently. JT, I always love him no-cut events at 10-6. Eventually, it's going to come back for him. You thought it might have happened last week, especially the way he kind of played on Saturday, that maybe Sunday would kick in. It didn't. But a guy that, you know, he can bomb it. He doesn't always have to bomb it. He can shorten the course up and wedge. Like, he's got a bunch of different ways to attack a course with his long irons or whatever. So I like JT a lot at 10-6 also. And then I love Xander and no-cut events. I had him a lot last week. We talked about it last week. But do you think – you said you expect high ownership. Do you think at 11-2 people are actually going to buy in on Xander?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I mean, he was 25% on last week this past week. $900 higher this week. I just – all these guys up top are going to get plenty of ownership.
That's true. The stars and scrubs at no-cut events. So, I mean,
it's the way it works. I mean, 20% on Rahm last week. JT was 29%. Rory was already talked about him. Was he 26%? And yeah. Hatton's the only one who wasn't. He was 6%. But I mean, I don't think he'll be unpopular. But of the guys up top, I think he'll be kind of the least popular.
Yeah, it was interesting on last Wednesday on the Slack chat, we were talking ownership on guys and going through fan share. It was almost all the European guys outside of like Rory and Rahm, like the usuals. The main like guys that came over from playing the BMW were all projected to be super low owned, and they were. It was very interesting to see. That was the easy pivots. If you want to go to the Euro guys, who most of them outside of Hatton didn't play that great, but that was your pivot if you wanted to make it.
Yeah.
Let's head into the 9K range. You got Morikawa at 98, a guy that loves par 5 scoring. Webb Simpson at 97. Reed coming back from Europe at 96. Finau looks like he'll be playing at 95. Cantlay 94. Matsuyama 93. Vic at 92. Wolf 91. And Mr. El Tigre at $9,000. Where are you going in this 9K range? Because a lot of interesting angles you can play here.
Yeah, there's plenty of plays here. Like a lot of these guys. Patrick Reed at 9,600. Did not play last week, but coming off the third place finish, the BMW over in Europe. 13th at the U.S. Open, 7th in the Tour Championship. Playing pretty well. Attacks par fives very well. Tony Finau, another guy who can play par fives really, really well. Didn't play last week. 8th at the U.S. Open, 14th Tour Championship, 5th at the BMW. So those two guys in that kind of spot there. And then Hovland at 91, or 92, excuse me. 12th last week, 13th week before, 14th week before that. I mean, so we got the trend going upwards there for him. And then I'll go back to Wolf at 9,100, man. I mean, I know he had a terrible week. Two straight second-place finishes before whatever the fuck happened last week. You know, he's in Vegas. Maybe, you know, he's a little bit nerdy. Maybe just got a little bit too much sauce going or something. I don't know. But that's really who I like in this range.
You know, speaking of the guys being in Vegas, I was shocked to see with COVID protocols and everything that majority of the golfers were staying in casinos. I was very surprised by that. I figured they'd have them at hotels off the strip or Airbnbs. A lot of them were staying in casinos. Very surprised by that.
Yeah, that is surprising.
But maybe they had, since MGM, maybe it was the suites that are right off the casino. Who knows? But it looked like they were in casinos. Like, oh, crap, that's an interesting protocol. But for me in this 9K range, Morikawa at 98 it intrigues me because he's been kind of up and down since his big PGA win. You know, he won the PGA, missed cut, T20 at the BMW, 6th at the Tour Championship, but missed cut at the US Open, missed cut at the Shriners. But then T12 last week, he's one of those guys that maybe he'll have a bad round, but then he can get it going again. He missed the Shriners on the number also, so take that with a grain of salt. But we know he loves par 5 scoring. We know he can get hot with the long irons, one of the best long iron, or just iron players in general on tour. I think Morikawa at 98, especially if people do start to gravitate to Hatton, Morikawa at 98 could be very interesting. Same with Webb at 97. One thing about this course that seems really good for this tournament as a whole, being a shorter course, it brings everyone into play. And Webb, not that he can't play long courses. We've seen him play long courses. But it just makes his game, his iron play, even better at the shorter course. So Webb at 97, a guy that just can continually top 10 things no matter what strength of the field. I like him in this as well. Finau, I have no problem jumping off after 2 weeks. You mentioned the par 5 scoring. When it comes to no-cut events, he's a DK scoring machine. So Finau at 95 I like. And then the last guy, I am with you. I'm going back to Matty Wolf at 91. I will go back to him. You know, after those tough finishes, or finished second, has a rough week. He's a young kid. I got no problem going back to him at 9,100. Playing down in Southern California, I have no problem with that at all. All right, 8K range. You got Berger at 89, English at 88. Bubba at 87, Kokrak 86, Fleetwood 85, Neiman 84. Man, Fleetwood looks lost right now. Fitzpatrick 83, Scheffler 82, Henley 81, and Sungjae's down at 8,000. He should be like 75% owned at that price. But what do you see in this range?
He probably will be about 75% owned. Berger at 89, start up top there. I like a lot of guys in this range again. He finished 28th last week, 38th the week before. He's kind of lost a little bit of what he had going before, but at 8,900, no cut event, most definitely take a chance with him. Another guy to take a chance with, Bubba Watson. Really like Bubba this week. Seventh last week. He's just figuring it out. And his price, his odds especially, are way shorter than that $8,700 price tag. I think it's okay to go back to Kokrak. I don't know that I'll play him at 8,600. But when he gets going, and if he can keep the putter going, then I think he's going to be I think he'll be fine this week. I mean, obviously, A600, you don't have to have him go back to back. Russell Henley, 8,100, played really well last week and had a chance on Sunday as well, finished third, and has a bunch of made cuts in a row before that, and just has been playing very solid golf. And then, Sungjae at 8,000. I mean, come on, man. Like, last week he's 8,700, 15% owned. I expect that to go up quite a bit this week, probably up in the 20s, but. He's definitely playable. Finished 45th. Not a great, not a great tournament for him, but did have some good rounds. Started terribly, shot 78 on Thursday, and then, came back a little bit there with some good rounds on Friday and Sunday. So I think he's fine at 8,000 as well.
this is a range where I could really see playing the ownership game, because I love Harris English at 88. He might come in lower owned with some other guys around him there. Another great finish, or good finish for him last week, 10th at the CJ Cup. After that missed cut at the Shriners, where he finished minus five, the cut was seven. But then fourth at the U.S. Open, 12th PGA or Tour, 40th, second. Guys been playing great golf, really, really good golf. So English at 88, I don't mind going to him. The other guys I had written on, Kokrak, I'm cool with that. If that putter stays hot, this is a great course for him as well. Neiman at 84, I liked him a lot last week. Comes in with a sixth-place finish, playing really good golf. 6th, 13th, 23rd, 27th, 3rd in his last five events. So, and a lot of those big, like 17 under at the Shriners, you're looking for a birdie man, 13 under last week. Neiman at 84, you can go right back to that direction. Fitzpatrick at 83, don't mind him. Shorter courses benefit him a lot. He's a strictly strong iron player. So Fitz at 83 is a guy I'll get behind. Henley at 81, you mentioned him. And then Sungjae at 8,000. We mentioned no cut events, the way he birdies like crazy. He finished 45th, but put up 77 DK points. That way outperformed a 45th place finish. Like, that's what he does. He had 18 birdies to go with 11 bogeys. He had an eagle, 18 birdies, 11 bogeys, two doubles, and an other. So a triple or a quad. It just shows you that the DK scoring algorithm fits a guy like Sungjae. Goes Finau, JT, those guys we talk about. So Sungjae at 8,000, this is just crazy talk to me. Like, it's going to be really hard to fade him. I think it's good chalk, no cut event. I'll be all over that again, unless something really comes out in the next couple of days that says no. But I'm going to probably eat the Sungjae chalk, and we'll see how bad that ends come Sunday. All right, 7K range. Jesse, who you got here?
Yeah, it's like the kind of like the wasteland of formerly good golfers or something here.
Definitely, it's crazy.
And basically 7,500 and above is what you're talking about, right?
Just go with all of them. So
no, all of them. Okay. I was going to say, I only have one play above 7,500. Adam Scott, 7,900. I think that's a misprice on Adam Scott. I know he's not playing a lot, and his finishes aren't necessarily great, but at 7,900, no cut event, I'll take a chance with Adam Scott that he can maybe make three footers all week. Munoz at 7,200, very solid tournament for him last week, ninth place finish, playing really well. He can score in bunches. Love him. Taylor Gooch, man, at 7,100. You know, he's coming off a fifth place finish last week. I think he'll be more popular than maybe what you would really like to see Taylor Gooch at. But, I mean, that was an impressive week he had last week. All rounds under par, three in the 60s, you know, shot 65 on Friday, was in the mix, finished fifth. I think he's fine at 7,100. And then, you know, Brendan Todd, you know, he 52nd last week. He started terribly. Got better and better and better on every single round, which to me is a good thing. Obviously, you know, when you keep improving every week, even though you're out of it, or every day, even though you're out of it. So $7,000 on him, and then Lanto at 7,000 again. Yeah, I mean, seventh place finish last week, no cut event again. I'll take chances with Lanto in this field as well.
Yeah, we're gonna be punting with a lot of the same guys. It sounds like I only had one guy above 75. That's Abe Anser. For me at 7,800, I liked him going into last week. He finished T28, kind of he came out hot at a rough round two, and it's kind of floated through the rest of the week. Finished 5 under, which, you know, not great, but see, that just shows you he had 77.5 points T28. We had him at T45 at 77 points. Here's your Sungjae example, folks. Like, what he does is so crazily different. But yeah, I don't mind Anser at 78 again. Just a couple things here or there. He had fourth of the Shriners the weekend before. And then other than that, like you mentioned, you got Scott, Fowler, Day, Mickelson, Casey, Rose, Woodland. My God. But Brian Harman at 73. I'm going to go right back to that. Well, got a little bit of a price bump this week, but T28 last week, T13, T37, T38, T12, T11, T27. Basically, he's been making cuts left and right. No cut event, but still finishing very, very high. So I like Harman on a course where he's got to be accurate off the tee and then wedge things in. So Harman at 73. Love Sebastian Munoz at 72 for all the reasons you did as well. Love Lanto. I'll be 100% back on Brendan Todd this week. I have no problem. Like, he improved every day, like you said. He had a rough opening round, but a guy that can be accurate off the tee, gives himself chances for birdies. I'll go back to that easily. And we saw, like, even in his opening round where he tanked, I think he finished 5 over, he had 2 eagles. So his scoring was still great.
Yeah, right? It was just straight psycho scorecard.
It was bizarre as all get up. So it's one of those, on a no-cut event, I just kind of shrugged it off like, okay, he got better. Let's ride the train again this week at a discount. I think he was, what, 79 last week?
Yeah.
So I'll take Todd at 7K with Lanto. And then the only other guy down here, I mention him almost every time there's a no-cut event because he has that upside. Finished T17 last week for 82.5 points. Is Ryan Palmer. He can get hot. He can also like 68, 76, 66, 71. Ryan Palmer in a nutshell, folks. So if he just like takes that 76 out, it's just another 68. He's T5 on this thing. I know it sounds simple, but and it's not, but it's little things like little tweaks like that. $7,100 course like this. He likes playing on the West Coast also. So I don't mind Palmer at that price point. Who you got in the 6K range?
Harry Higgs at 7,600. Finished 21st last week after the miscut at the Shriners. So nice little bounce back there. Had two good rounds sandwiched in between two kind of just average rounds or whatever. Tom Hoge at 6,400. Played last week, shot or finished 38th. But, you know, he was 6,100 last week and 4% owned. So expect similar ownership. And one other play, man, I don't know why the model loves this guy, but Gun Chara Canol. I don't know.
I'll leave that one to you.
Tried to figure it out. I mean, he's world number 160 out of Thailand. Been playing over on, you know, in Asia on tours over there, second, 15th, 13th, 14th, third, fifth, second. I mean, a bunch of really solid finishes in a row, and I'm guessing that's why the model loves him. So if you're way down here at 6,000, you want somebody to punt with, look to Gun at 6,000.
All right. I have a long list here, but I'm just going to kind of slow play this. Question for you. At $6,900, a guy we never play in Jordan Spieth finished 69, 67, T38, 85 DK points last week. Does that interest you at all?
I mean, it does. I actually, you know, kind of clicked on him and looked to see where he did finish last week. And
there's,
you know,
no driver, maybe, if he doesn't need to.
Yeah, but he's just fucking hit it so bad still. I mean, mm-hmm. I want Jordan to do well, but 60% of the greens last week, less than 50% of the fairways hit last week. Putter was working, and that's what saved him. So, you know, can he figure it out? Yes. At 6,900, would I be willing to put him on some GPP lineups if I'm playing a bunch? I would, yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm just, you know, if I'm focusing on three lineups, I'm not going to play him.
Let's say you do the 20 max. Do you want, like,
four lineups? Yeah, I'd put him on two. Okay. Yeah.
Because I think since it's a no-cut event, I'm kind of intrigued by him for once. The cut events, I just don't touch Jordan Spieth.
I'm with you.
Like, he wouldn't have made the cut last week. That simple.
Right.
But in no-cut event, it's always been getting off the tee for him is the issue. And if he can do that, it could be interesting.
Yeah.
So 6,900. Kevin Kisner is a guy I love on shorter courses. So keep him in mind at 6,800. He finished T45 last week. Wasn't impressive at all. Opening round tanked him the rest of the tournament, 71, 67, 71. Not horrible, but shorter courses definitely play more into Kisner's game plan. So keep him in mind at 68. I love the Higgs call at 67. Hadwin's always interesting in courses like this at 67. Dahman can birdie in bunches at 65. Don't mind that. I love the Tom Hoge call. I had him a lot last week. Another guy at 64, though, if you're looking for a birdie maker, no cut event, so he could trunk slam you. He only went 70, 71, 70, 70 last week. But that counted 19 birdies on his tournament, 76.5 points. Mark Hubbard is a guy that can birdie in bunches at times at 6,400. So he's a guy I don't hate as a punt. And then the only other one I think I had other than you, if you just want to go uber punting, Nick Taylor at $6,100. He won at Pebble earlier this year. I finished T61 last week, so not great. No rounds in the 60s. But he's a guy that can run hot from time to time. I probably won't play him, but if you want to go uber punt, $6,100 Nick Taylor, I don't hate completely. All right, recapping things real quick. Jesse, 10K and above, who is your number one play?
I'm going to say Hatton.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. I'm going to go with Hatton as well. 9K range, go with your number one play.
Finau.
I like that a lot too. I'll go Webb to be a little different. But if Finau's playing, I'm really kind of locked into that one. 8K range, go with two.
Bubba and Berger.
I'll go Neiman and M. I just can't wait to see M's ownership on Thursday morning to make me want to puke. It's going to be just one of those things. 7K range, go to
Adam Scott and Munoz.
Yeah, I'm just going to go Munoz and Todd. I'm going to go right back to Todd on that one. And then 6K range, go ahead with two.
Higgs and Hoge.
I'm going to go with Kisner and Hubbard. Those will be my two, but I love the ones you mentioned as well. I think it's a definite another week you can do stars and scrubs pretty pretty confidently if you feel the urge to do that. We don't condone cash game plays on these no-cut events. We've gone over it many times. Just don't do it. But when it comes to GPPs, Jesse, how would you start your GPP team? What three players?
Finau, Bubba. That leaves about 8,000 left. And, you know, I just would throw Higgs on there to go ahead and get the party going, 6,700.
Yeah, I had Hatton, Finau, and M would be my first three. Just go get all those birdies, and then we'll play around after that. And then, more importantly, who do you have winning this thing?
You know, I was looking at, I was wanting to find Bubba, you know, his odds. I figured they'd be a little longer than they are on Bovada. It's 25-1. Mm-hmm. I think that's a little short. But, you know, it especially compared to his price on DK, but yeah. Makes me like him on DK even more there. I think Reed at 22 is kind of interesting there. Somebody a little bit longer. I mean, Sungjae at 50. You know,
it's not bad.
Yeah. I mean, Justin Rose all the way back to 80, man. Paul Casey at 80.
Yeah. Webin, U.S. Open champion at 80.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of dudes there. He's like, holy crap.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's golf's gone to kind of a weird place, but I like it.
No, I like it too, because you look at the what we used to call the fall swing. We're having a lot of dudes in like the 6K ranges on DK and like 100 plus odds, at least 80 plus odds winning things right now.
Yeah.
And Kokrak was like the first one, like a stronger event, but he took it down. Now, I'm not saying like a Kevin Na can win, but this kind of course could fit a Kevin Na. He's 125. You know, if Corey Connors will ever figure out a putt, 125 on a course like this, he finished over par last week and still way outscored his DraftKings scoring. Like, that's the little things that make you kind of go, But the guys I'm looking at, I think Webb at 20-1 still has some value because I like him a lot this week, actually. Neiman at 33-1. He's going to bust through again real quick. And I don't think I'll take him to win, but I'd like to see a T20 on Kisner. I really like Kisner on short courses. I could see him getting some damage done here. So even Brandon Todd, 80-1 on a short course, on a top 20. I could see that being interesting as well. Todd bounced back coming up this week in a big, big way. But that'll wrap us up for the week, Jesse. Any final thoughts? Nice quick one here with a 78-man no-cut event.
I don't, man. Good luck.
Yep. Good luck to everyone. You can find us on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, at BDentric, at AlwaysPressDFS. Join us in the Slack chat if you have any questions. It's free. Come have some fun with us over there. Talking all sports, not just golf. But until next time, this is the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast previewing the 2020 Zozo Championship. Catch you guys later.